Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
And then he said,
"Hell, no place to go."
I don't know what he's saying either.
"Hell, no place to go, darling. Hell, no place to go. Hell, no place to go."
6:12, and the Steve Cochran Show on the radio, because you know it's where I work. Show number 911. At Cochran Show on Twitter, facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. Now, when I say 911, I mean 911 shows since I came back.
Right.
You know,
right.
If you added up the shows from 2000 to 2010 when I was fired, it's a lot more than 911, but I forgot how many that was. This is the new count, and it's all for legal reasons.
But today is 911?
Yes.
There you go.
If you need help.
If you need help.
On the program today, Jordan Goodman talking money, Karen Conti talking law. Steve Mayer is the NFL Chief Content Officer and Executive Vice President. Talk a little bit more about the draft. What did I say, NFL?
You did.
NHL.
Yeah.
Larry Schreiner's son will be on the sons on the phone, mm-hmm. Mark and Matt. Mm-hmm. Schreiner's going into the Walk of Fame tomorrow.
Yes, he is.
Is there any sort of big parade or anything tonight for you Walk of Famers?
No, but there should be.
Yeah, ceremony
I mean,
of sorts.
I think we should all get together.
Speaking of that, Spike Odell will be joining us later on. Spike cannot come in for the Walk of Fame, and he hates missing it. So he wants to talk about some of the people that are going in that, you know, were part of his show.
Isn't there a ball tonight for this?
There is the Walk of Fame ball.
The Walk of Fame ball.
Did you guys, please rinse your gown.
Do you guys see the video, the WGN video of somebody did yesterday, and they walk through the walk and show every single, you know, what do they call? Plaques.
Oh, and talk about people?
Yes, and they talk about each one. It's really a well-done video.
Who did the video?
You know, the person never shows themselves.
And it wasn't a voice you recognized?
Oh, it's Dave Marzullo.
Oh, yeah. It's Dave, okay.
Yes, I did recognize his voice after a while, but he never shows his face, so I'm like, who
Marzullo's,
is it?
Marzullo's he's a superhero.
He's a little bit of a spy.
He can't reveal his identity.
No, he cannot, but he did a very good job.
I'll have to
watch it. Very interesting. Yeah, could you get little tidbits about each one? And Dave's been here a long time.
What'd you find out about Dave?
I can't say.
Okay, that seems right.
He didn't really say anything about Dave, actually.
He didn't say anything about Dave?
He said, and there's Dave Ennett.
Oh, thanks.
And there's sports guy right. Dave. I think, who are you next to? Are you next to Pilak? No, I don't think you are. No.
Well, I don't know. I'll speak to Dave later.
Yes,
yeah.
You'll have a talk. You'll straighten him out.
It's a good
video. Coming up, top six at six in just a second, and there's a lot to discuss of that. And then, Mary, stand by. Because I didn't make the Dancing with the Stars finale, and I need to know who won. I'm on pins and needles.
Mary fell asleep.
Don't tell me yet. Yeah, but I'm sure you know.
I know, but I did.
Thanks to the internets.
It was 2.5 hours.
All of them.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Man.
It's 6:18, and thank you, American Weathermakers. Let's dive into the top six at six. Prime Minister Theresa May has deployed the military to assist the police amid fears of another terrorist attack after the bombing in Manchester on Monday that killed 22, including many, many, many children. If this is the ISIS modus operandi, and if you pay any attention, you know what horrible things they've already done to people they've taken as prisoner, and how they've acted in general. But if killing little girls is the new step, well, we need to find them and end them and just get it over with, because this attack appeared to be specifically targeted at little girls. That's not okay in this world. On any stretch. The only upside here is that it's so off the deep end. It's so Newtown bad that maybe they'll have trouble finding people crazy enough to play along. I mean, if you're sick enough to kill, do you still have a line that you're going to draw Because think about the level of psychopath you have to reach if you go, yep, I'm up for that. Pick me. I'm going to kill little girls.
Yeah, they've killed pretty much indiscriminately up to this point.
I heard an interesting point yesterday. Somebody brought this up who knows ISIS and said the terminology matters. And calling them radical Islamic fundamentalists, things of that nature, they don't like that. They want to be called terrorists because terrorists is a badge of honor for them. He said, but if you call them murderers, that's what they don't want to be called because they can't explain why it's okay. They can't find any rationale in any book and any religion, including their own, that says it's okay to kill little girls.
The president chose to call them losers,
yeah,
and was specific about not calling them monsters. And I'm not, I didn't quite get where he was going with that.
No, and it's that's not going to get it done. But I you know, listen, people who study this stuff more than the president, certainly more than me, murderers. They're murderers. They murdered children. Yeah. That's what they did.
Mass murders.
And several have their lives still hanging in the balance in hospitals in Manchester here as we enter day two after the attack. Pope Francis welcomed President Trump. Face-to-face meeting of the two leaders. Remember, they had a little Twitter spat during the campaign, and they exchanged gifts. The Pope presented President Trump with a medal with an olive on it, which represents peace. And the president gave the Pope Jenga.
I don't think.
Oh no, that's not true.
He gave him.
No,
books.
He gave the Pope Martin Luther King books. Mm-hmm. And again, a successful day for the president. The only problem the president's having on this trip is getting his wife to hold his hand.
Oh yeah,
that
she
seems to be.
Boy,
yeah.
She looks so stoic all the time. It's like, wow.
Yeah, there was one other thing too. The three other things the Pope handed the president.
You have the list.
Vatican position papers. Three of them, including one on global warming, one on how you treat the poor, and the third one we don't know yet, but those are the two big ones. One, climate change, the other on how you treat the poor, Vatican position papers. That seems like kind of a,
I'm
read
sure
these.
The president will have someone read those?
Yeah.
And what was the other thing?
I don't know the third one. Oh. Just know two of them.
What if they were to do something like when mayors bet on the outcome of a game? Like Mayor Emanuel bets pizza and ribs.
You get some Vatican pasta. Yeah, I don't know. Is there a snack shop at the Vatican? I don't know.
I don't know.
I should ask my son. He's been there. Okay, then. Ex-CIA chief John Brennan testified yesterday, and all of Washington's talking about it today. Told a congressional committee how American authorities had realized the presidential election was under attack by Russia well over a year ago. And their fears that the Trump campaign might be involved. And had a pretty remarkable quote, and this isn't the exact wording, but he said, when you follow a path of treason, you don't realize you're on that path until it's too late. I don't think he was talking about anybody other than the folks that were supposed to be talked about, people on the Trump campaign. It seems as this thing rolls out, and it's got a long way to go, the question that seems to linger is the one that always falls over politics. You're either complicit or you're dumb. Now, if you're naive enough to get involved with Russia and allow Russia to manipulate you, because remember, Putin was a KGB guy. PsyOps was part of his deal. So if his whole thing was manipulating Trump, and if Trump is still caught up in this world of don't delegitimize my win, and he's still obviously thinking about the election, he brings it up all the time. If that's the reason we're in this mess, his ego... That's colossally stupid on his part. We don't know, but he and his team don't exactly seem like evil masterminds at this point. Mike Madigan's back. Oh, that's great. And by the way, I don't mean on this show. Mike Madigan back this spring after Governor Rauner's attacks. Instead of appearing on public television after Governor's big speeches, his folks are often thrown out to offer a rebuttal, Steve Brown and the likes. Madigan has rarely been seen on the House floor this session. He's not often at work. He did preside over the chamber during a visit by the Cubs World Series trophy, but that's about it. We're at this point, we're wondering if we should start some rumors about where Mike Madigan may be, and maybe start a Mike Madigan plotting point map with little pins. You go, if you've seen Mike Madigan, we'll stick a pin in it, see if we can trace him.
You know one place you don't have to put a pin?
Here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's never here. And Illinois Senate Democrats voted 32-26 to pass tax legislation, which would bring about $5.4 billion in new revenue. Personal income tax rate would go from 3.75% to 4.95%. Significant jump. But that is below the 5% rate in place before Rauner took office. The corporate income tax rate would be hiked from 5.25% to 7%. Not quite sure how that's going to entice businesses to come here. The higher rates would be retroactive to January 1st, meaning if they become law, the effect on take-home pay would be a lot bigger because it would back it up. We have no reason to believe this is going to get through the House, but it did get through the Senate. And Governor Rauner, again, will be on tomorrow morning to discuss it. And Mike Madigan's invited as well. And let's go live to Hollywood, where Mary's standing by with the Dancing with the Stars crew so she can tell us who won. Was it the NFL dude?
Yes, Rashad Jennings came through. He was really close with David Ross at the end.
David and Lindsay, Rashad and Emma, the winners and new champions of Dancing with the Stars are...
Can take a nap during this pause.
Rashad and Emma.
Well, he was good, right? Wasn't he good?
He was awesome.
But David Ross finished second, huh?
Yeah, but you know the fans' votes pulled David through.
Yeah, because that girl,
it was 50% of fan votes counted.
The girl from the group. What was the girl's name? The one who finished
Normani Corday.
Yeah, Normani from Fifth Harmony. She was great.
Fifth Dimension, as I thought earlier. Oh, yeah, she was fantastic. I mean, the thing that I think, one thing that screwed her up was the second to the last dance she did yesterday. She actually did not wear a dress. She wore a unitard Catwoman outfit.
Uh-huh.
And
me
could,
too?
Yes, exactly. Looks good on you too. You could finally see her legs and her feet, and they were sometimes not squeezing together. And when she wore a dress all the time, she didn't have that, you know, showing of the legs and the feet not coming together all the time.
I did notice at the opening.
She's very picky. She was wonderful.
At the opening of the show, she got boobs on her.
Oh, yeah.
You
noticed.
Is that harder to dance, is acrobatically in that case?
Yeah, but I don't think she had a problem with it. She just looks like she's put up with them for quite a while. I don't think.
Well, and let me just say good for her.
Yeah, exactly.
6:27 and back with the Steve Cochran Show. That's what this is. It's on the air now, and we'll do more of it next. Coming up on 6:40, Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN. And Karen Conti will join us in just a second. We've got a lot of legal stuff to talk about today. And let me pick up the phone and get it right now. Good morning, Karen. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Another beautiful day in Chicago?
It is. I'm getting used to it.
Spring turns into summer instantly here more often than not. But normally we have at least some recognition of spring. You would need the dental records for spring to identify spring this year.
That is true.
It's not good. All right. How do people get a hold of you if they need you at your firm?
You can call me at 312-332-7800 or email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
60 Minutes Sunday night did a Cook County story, and specifically Cook County Jail, and focused on Sheriff Tom Dart and what he's dealing with there. And the problem with people waiting for their trial forever in prison came up in a term I'd never heard, negative time. And negative time was described as being, I'm waiting for my day in court on a relatively minor crime, and I'm waiting in Cook County Jail for 6 months or maybe a year. By the time my day in court comes up, the sentence is less than the time I've waited for my trial to actually happen. And not only have I already served my time, I've served bonus time that I never should have been in jail for. How could there be that kind of a backlog?
No, it's just, it's such a dysfunctional system over there. Number one, we have a public defender's office that's just overwhelmed, okay? And there's a Speedy Trial Act that the Sixth Amendment says that people who are accused of a crime have to go to trial, and 120 days is the amount of time that they have to get them to trial. But the problem is when you have a public defender's office who's so overwhelmed they can't prepare the case in time, they ask for the extension. So the prosecutors may be ready, but the defenders aren't. Then we have overcrowded court dockets where the judges can't get you in. We have a big problem with police not showing up. So the police are summoned to testify as crimes. Many times they are the only witnesses to these crimes, and they're not showing up. And the judges don't want to issue bench warrants for them and to arrest them for not showing up, but nothing is being done to get them there. Also, we have a crime lab that is so overwhelmed, so that we have DNA and we have blood and we have ballistics and all those kinds of things that need to be turned around. But they're overworked, so they don't come back, so the prosecutors can't prosecute those cases, and the defense lawyers can't get that evidence that they need. So we have all of these things working together to create really what the Department of Justice has called a culture of delay, and it's a real problem.
Do other cities have this? Does New York and L.A. have this?
They do. Rikers had a big problem. It was another big jail. And, yeah, I think Cook County is probably one of the worst in the country, and I'm glad that the 60 Minutes did this because it really drew attention to the serious problem, because some of these people, Steve, if they can't get out of jail on bond because they can't pay $500, they stole, you know, something from a store, they may be in there for a year. Meanwhile, they've lost their job, they've incurred debt, they're not paying child support, they're losing touch with their kids and their family, and this is causing a societal problem.
Absolutely.
Some of these people are just pleading guilty just to get the heck out of there.
Yeah,
so
it's,
now they
it's
have
outrageous.
Criminal records for things that they really didn't do. So,
well,
yeah,
it sounds like it all comes down to money, and there's not enough money to make the system faster. Is that oversimplifying it?
That's a big part of it, you know, and I think, yeah, I think that's the solution. And I think, but again, it's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger. And when we have drug charges, and I'm really concerned because now we have this idea that all charges are going to be, Donald Trump has basically said that everyone needs to be charged to the full extent of the law, and those are probably federal offenses more than state offenses. But still, that's going to cause a further escalating in the population of the prisons for people who have drug crimes. So,
and the majority of the public prisons are overpopulated now.
Absolutely, hugely.
I mean, that's what they're talking about, and it isn't a coincidental that Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, agreed to some legislation pending or otherwise on privatizing prisons and allowing private prisons for money to pop up all over the place. Is that where this is headed?
I mean, it may be, and that's very problematic. I mean, some outsourcing is good. I think outsourcing DNA testing and things like that might be good because we just can't handle it. But to outsource jails, that's a whole other issue with all kinds of societal problems. And then now we have people who are in the business of incarcerating humans. I don't know if that works.
If 23andMe can allow me to spit in a test tube and send back my stuff within a month or so, it seems like we could speed this up a little bit.
It just seems like you could, right? And you know, making people work a little harder, hiring a few more people, basically doing testing around the clock. When you have people sitting in jail, and believe me, Cook County Prison is a horrible place. You know, judges don't even like to send people there because it is a dangerous, awful place. And, you know, you got people sitting around waiting for things, and they may be innocent. It's bad.
Yeah, and with deference to those who don't like Sheriff Dart, who work for Sheriff Dart, 60 Minutes does their homework, and he came across pretty well in this piece. I personally like him, and I like the efforts he's trying to make. They're certainly not traditional law and order efforts necessarily, and the argument is he could do better at having the backs of his guards. I can't speak to that from the inside out. But overall, it sounds like he is in a terrible situation. He's trying to make the best of it.
He is, and he has the reality, which is this is the largest mental institution in the world. 30% of the 7,500 or so prisoners have serious mental illness. I'm not talking about a little depression. I'm talking about serious mental illness. Yeah. So what you have to do is you have to help these people because, you know, just throwing them in jail is a dangerous thing. And they're going to come out at some point. And you've got to make sure they're okay when they come out. Otherwise, they're going right back in.
It's time for us to talk O.J. Simpson in our regular O.J. Simpson segment. he is going to get out of jail?
I think he is. He is a low-risk prisoner, according to the Nevada standards. You know, he's 70 years old. He really doesn't have a criminal background, which is funny to say because he was acquitted of the big crime, of course. He has no gang ties, no discipline problems. He's been a model prisoner. So, you know, he's got all the risk factors that drive it down to a number where the commissioners are going to have to vote to release him. Now, are they going to consider the fact that he's a high-profile person? You know, probably, but I think they're going to be fair, and they're going to take the analysis that they're given to apply, and I think he's going to walk.
And how is he ever going to get his reality show started if he doesn't get out soon?
Oh, you know that's coming.
Yeah, O.J. is 70 years old now, for those of you who have lost track, and has spent the last 9 years, I believe, in this Vegas prison. How soon does this happen? Not the parole hearing, but the release.
Yeah. Well, the date of the hearing is going to be somewhere in July. We don't know yet. And I would imagine it'll take a little while to release him. But I would imagine by fall, he's going to be walking.
So what's the reason if the parole people say, let him go, that he can't walk out that day? What, the paperwork?
There's usually paperwork, and there's going to be some factors that he's going to have to sign on to certain parole responsibilities, that he's, you know, not going to drink and he's not going to associate with people with drugs.
Kill any wives.
Right, all that stuff. Right. It does take a while. The system is, again, very slow.
And he has to stay away from Drew Peterson. I understand that's part of the deal as well.
That would be a good thing.
Come back, talk Trump, Russia, and Bill Cosby's trial with Karen Conti. First, here's Traffic with Mary. Six 52. Karen Conti's with us, attorney at law. After my 9 years in parole hearing, after I remember I was in the Vegas prison, you got me out.
I do remember that. Yeah. I do remember that. It was a nice trip for me.
Yeah.
Saw a couple shows, saw Cher. You know, it was nice.
Right, that wasn't Cher. That was me in a wig. all right. Before we get to Trump and Russia, talk to me about Cosby. 11 jurors seated. In these high-profile cases, not that there's been one like Cosby anytime recently, but any celebrity case that gets a lot of media coverage, it always amazes me when they go, well, we X out 100 jurors because they said they're familiar with the case. How could no one, this is the constant question I have. How do you find people stupid enough to sit on a jury that they haven't heard of the case, and do you want stupid people on a jury? What do you do?
Well, you're not guaranteed a jury of people who don't know anything about you or your case. You are guaranteed of people who will be able to put that aside, whatever preconceived notions they might have, and to rule fairly on the facts and the law. So, you know, there's a thin line between that. People say, oh, I haven't made up my mind. Yes, I could be fair. But those are the people who want to get on the jury for the most part. So the bottom line is, I'm not sure we ever know if jurors really are neutral when they come in there, because people either want to serve or they don't. Some people lie to get off. Some people lie to get on. But you just because they know about Bill Cosby, who he is and what the charges are, doesn't mean that they're knocked off the jury as a matter of right.
But does it happen where you have people who, in the beginning, as you're going through the jurors, maybe you're clipping people a little quicker, and then you get down to go, well, we got to find some people to fill? You know, do people get eliminated too quickly in the beginning, or is that not how this works?
Not really. You know, the judges want to make sure that everyone, the judges want to force the issue. They'll ask you, now, really, you made up your mind? I mean, is it possible that you could sit through this trial and listen and really be fair and take the oath of office and do your job? And, you know, they try to push people into being on the jury. And if they say, absolutely, I can't, I know the guy's guilty, I just know he is, you know, they're off. And the problem with that is the other jurors get to hear some of that. And so now you have the other jury pool listening to other people be conclusive that someone's guilty. So it's not a perfect process, but they do the best they can. And the truth of the matter, once people get on juries, Steve, they usually do a good job. They usually respect that oath, and they usually listen and carefully weigh the evidence because they know somebody's life is at hand.
So Cosby is 77 or 8 now, and he allegedly is blind. Is any of that going to weigh into what happens to him here?
I'm sure it will. I mean, the visual is that he's an old man. But, you know, this crime happened many years ago. And, you know, when you drug someone, you don't have to be that strong. So I think that, you know, he's going to make much of that. I think the prosecution is going to make much of the fact that, you know, this could not have been consensual. Apparently, the woman who's making the accusations is gay. And, of course, her position is, I never would have consented to this because I'm gay and I don't want to be with a man. So this, you know, this piece is kind of a new piece that I think is going to be front and center of the trial.
And even if he is acquitted for whatever reason in this case, there's got to be a bunch of people lining up to take him on again, right?
There are. Most of the statutes of limitations have run. This was kind of a unique situation, but I don't think his day in court is over. I think he's got a lot of civil suits that are pending, and I think he's going to spend his final days either in jail or defending these things.
Trump and Russia, before I let you go, if there were improprieties with Russia, Trump's going to say, well, at least that appears to be what he's lawyering up for now, that, hey, I've never been a politician. I don't know all this stuff. I don't know what to say, what not to say. Is ignorance ever a defense?
No, it isn't. And obstruction of justice involves basically just trying to impede an official proceeding. And when you're the president of the United States, the leader of the free world, and you walk in and you say, I really would like you to drop this, and then thereafter you fire someone, that's kind of setting you up for an obstruction of justice charge. I'm not saying it's going to be brought. I'm not saying it even could be proven because it's a high standard. But all of the talking that Trump does, Twitter, interviews, all of those things can be used against him as circumstantial evidence of his intention and what he was trying to do with this. Most presidents don't talk as much, and so they can take action. Yes, he had the absolute right to fire Comey, but when you have words that say why you're doing it and that is an improper purpose, that becomes a problem for him.
And if it's proven that what we've heard about Comey being in a meeting with the attorney general, Comey's boss, and the vice president, and the attorney general and the vice president are kicked out of the meeting so Trump can ask Comey to back off the Flynn investigation, how does that not rise to obstruction?
That's real close, Steve. I really think so.
And, because that shows intent, right?
It does. It does show intent. And he has said things to other people that also indicate the intent. Now the pressure's off, or whatever the words were he used.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're getting rid of somebody to stop an investigation that may impact you or people that you know. That is not a good thing. And listen, obstruction of justice, you know, we've had Barry Bonds talk about not doing steroids. We've had Martha Stewart, Libby, Scooter Libby. I mean, these are all people who have, it's kind of a catch-all. And if you're, you know, it's a hard thing to plead and prove beyond a reasonable doubt, but President Trump has another problem. He is subject to impeachment, and only the majority of the House and two-thirds of the Senate need to vote on that. And it doesn't need to have a burden of proof, and it doesn't need to have a label like obstruction of justice. If they think he committed a high crime or misdemeanor, which you figure what that means, anything really, that's probably the best avenue to punish him, because it's easier than convicting someone of obstruction of justice.
So if you've learned anything from Karen Conti today, learn this. The George Costanza defense never, ever works. Was that wrong? Because no one ever told me that was wrong. Unbelievable. Phone number for you again is what?
My number is 312-332-7800 or kconti at kcontilaw.com.
And we're back with Jordan Goodman after the news at 7. That's next on 720 WGN. John Acosta is here. We're going to get into this a little bit later, but we're going to announce a karaoke finalist today. And give you a chance in the 9 o'clock hour to sing, maybe even before that, so pay attention. But, John, if people want a last-minute chance to be in the cars in just a week or so and sing for a fabulous prize. By the way, I don't want to give away the grand prize yet, but the fine people at the incredible Peninsula Hotel.
This is amazing.
Are putting together a prize package, which I'll tell you about later in the morning for the grand prize winner. The runners-up get Bupkis, and I don't even know what Bupkis is.
He played for the Bears from 65
Dick
to
Bupkis?
73.
No, that's
something else. Okay. No, we have fine prizes as well for the runners-up. But this Peninsula package for you know, a night downtown is pretty cool. And I want to say hi, if you don't mind, John, and if you don't, if you do mind, I really don't care that much, to the lovely Jenny Ellefson. Susan Ellefson over at the Peninsula is a very good friend of mine. And Jenny Ellefson is her mom.
Oh.
And couldn't be a nicer lady and listens to the show. And I want to say hi to Jenny and all of her friends
who might be listening this morning. And if you see Jenny Ellison today, tell her Steve says hello. Give her a hug. All right, so what do people do if they want to be? Obviously, they can call later in the show.
Call in
but
live.
If they want to send in a video or just audio of their
audio
singing
clip.
In the car. Everybody sings in the car.
Right.
Everybody does.
Exactly.
So if you're singing in the car, what do you need to do?
Just send it to msandberg@wgnradio.com before the end of the show today, because I'm picking. We have one finalist. I'm picking the other two, and they'll be in our parking lot next Wednesday.
Okay. Two finalists day.
Yes.
Wow. It's like The Voice, except we don't have chairs that spin around.
Is it true? This is the Steve Cochran Show. Yes.
A couple of financial wizards.
Those Rockefellers.
Now get a tray for these two great big important Samoans here.
We'll save them for seed. Toast.
A toast. A toast to Mama Dollar and to Papa Dollar. And if you want to keep this old building alone in business, you better have a family real quick.
And of course, it was Jordan Goodman in his finest movie role. Talking money and talking Jordan Goodman. But first, I don't know, you want to dance or something?
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I need
fun. Good morning, Mr. Goodman. Jordan?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine now. How are you, buddy?
Me and Jimmy had a good time in that movie, actually. It came out well.
It really, really did. And you're a fine actor, and you should do it more often. All right. So your website is?
MoneyAnswers.com. Again, emails me folks all the time. I'd love to help them.
Everybody should jump in. And we got to jump in because we're short on time today. Graduation season is here. Big old pile of student loan debt. What do we do to get out of it?
So the average is 38,000 of people graduating right now. We're at $1.3 trillion in total student loan debt. It's going to be $1.4 trillion by the end of this graduation season.
A lot of money.
Staggering. And that's the average, Steve. Some people are 150,000 undergraduate, law school, business school, medical school, another 400,000 on top of that before they get their first job.
Now, I am of a mind, and I think you are as well, you know, a capitalist type like you and me.
Yeah.
If you take a loan, you should pay back that loan.
Yeah.
But you should take advantage of anything you can that's legal and above board and appropriate and effective for you to limit the amount of damage it's going to do to you to find a job and to be able to have a life going forward. So what do you recommend?
Good thing. All right. So the first thing, when you come out of school, if you have a whole bunch of different federal loans at different interest rates, you consolidate them all into one at the lowest possible interest rate. A website for that, consolidatecollege.com. This is what's called the Student Loan Help Center. And, you know, it's not going to make them disappear, but at least you pay one at a lower interest rate. And the second thing, people don't realize you can refinance your student loans to a much lower rate, typically in the 2 to 3% range. You combine federal loans and private loans all into one, and there's a place doing that called Credible. Their website, credible.com, and then put /moneyanswers after that. They know it's me. You get $200 off your first payment that way. They've also got a phone number, 855-870-6005. And there's like six or seven different lenders that will refinance your student loans. And you kind of see what's the best deal for you. And you go through it. And now instead of having a whole bunch of loans at 5% and 10% and all these different rates, you've got one in the 2 to 3% range. And again, it's not magical, but it'll help you pay them off quicker instead of take the rest of your life.
ConsolidateCollege.com and Credible.com/moneyanswers.
Correct.
Those are the two you need to know. And by the way, nobody procrastinates better than I.
Oh, good.
However, anybody in this college loan situation should treat this like you got an exam tomorrow. You've waited too long. Get it done today.
You heard the website. It's going to take you 30 years to pay them off otherwise.
Yeah, just get it done. Get it done today.
People paying their student loans off in their 50s. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Before we get traffic here, we'll come back and give you more resources you need. And all of these that we mentioned will be at moneyanswers.com. What's going on with Wall Street? It looks like it's coming back now.
Well, it's doing very well, despite all the craziness in Washington. I think basically Wall Street's tuning out Washington. It's like a big circus. And let's get back to business is basically the way they look.
Yeah, because there was like 4 days of panic last week, and it looks like all that loss
all
is made
gone.
Up.
All gone, yeah. Now, people basically look at the earnings. In the first quarter earnings that came out, 72% of the companies in the S&P 500 beat their estimates. 72%. So, I mean, Facebook and Google and Salesforce and Microsoft and Amazon, I mean, they're just roaring ahead here. I was talking to somebody in Seattle this week. They said Amazon is hiring 15,000 people a month in Seattle now. It's just crazy.
That's crazy.
They're just, I mean, these places are growing really, really fast. Now, they're killing the retailers. We've lost 100,000 retail jobs since the beginning of the year. So it's not good for Sears, but it's good for Amazon. So, I mean, there are places in the economy that are just booming. And if you want the hottest stock tip right now, Steve, I like to make you rich instantly.
I know, okay? And I appreciate it.
The company is called NVIDIA. NVDA is the symbol. The company NVIDIA is the name of the company. They make all the chips that go into, like, graphics, like the new Nintendo Switch. They make the chips for that, all these fancy graphic chips.
Well, it's not like they're going away then.
Virtual reality, Internet of Things, driverless cars, they've got the chips for all of it. That stock, well, I got into about a year ago at about 40. It's now about 150.
Okay. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, it just, I mean, it's going to keep going up dramatically because they're in all the right places. So it's volatile moment to moment, but if you want me to make you rich quickly, there's a stock. I like to give you hot tips.
All right, 150 a share. I could get a third of a share right now.
That's right.
All right, hold the line. More coming up Jordan Goodman. And again, moneyanswers.com. Back after this on 720 WGN. What do you have, Mayor?
I need a dollar.
Jordan Goodman's with us, and Jordan, we had terrific ratings so far this spring and over the winter. It's been a great run since the show relaunched back in 2013, and I just want to thank everybody for all the support. But I got to tell you, you're one of the main draws, buddy. Every time Jordan Goodman's on for days after, we get people going, I never listen to you, but when is that Jordan on again?
Well, I get the emails from people, and I call them back, and I help them. I love to help your folks. I
mean, so,
one of the biggest things they're asking about all the days, their money's sitting in the bank earning zero, okay? And that's, Federal Reserve is probably going to raise rates again in June, which means what you pay is going to go up on credit cards and car loans and student loans and all that. But the banks have no reason whatsoever to raise what they're paying you on deposits. CDs, money market funds, savings accounts remain zero.
It used to be you'd look at the bank and the spinning sign would tell you the time of day and the 6% you could earn on their money. Now it's
happening.
Now they don't even know what to put up there. They should just put up a face of a guy laughing.
A minus sign, yes. So I mean, I mentioned before, but it's the most popular thing I hear from your folks is a way of getting 8% very safely are these commercial real estate income funds. The website for that, commercialrealestateincomefunds.com. What they do is they lend money short-term over 1 year to commercial real estate projects, hotels, shopping centers, apartment buildings, whatever it may be, that they can't get money from the banks because the banks are so tight these days. They lend it out very safely. Maximum they lend is 70% of the value of the property. You get monthly interest, and then you can either take it if you like or reinvest it and have it grow at 8%. And now your money's growing at 8%, and you can get your money back anytime after 18 months. It's an 18-month minimum hold.
And the obvious question is, how can they do 8%?
Because the lenders, you are the lender, in fact,
yeah.
But the borrowers want to get their deals done. If they go to a bank, it could take them 6 to 9 months to a year to get the deal done. This way they can get it done quickly.
Less red tape, less
value of the property.
As my father would have said, less rigmarole.
Exactly. A lot less rigmarole. And in fact, what happens when they sell the project, when it's done, they share some of the profit with you, the shareholder, as well. So you actually get a profit sharing quarterly, which might be another 1% or 2% on top of that. So
minimum in?
Minimum is $5,000 to get into something like that.
Well, that's pretty reasonable.
With no commissions at all either. You invest that, and 100% of what you invest gets the 8%.
I would again not wait on these because eventually the people there are going to realize that's too good a deal.
It's true. Let me give them the website just one more time because I know I get emails afterwards. CommercialRealEstateIncomeFunds.com. They've also got a phone number, 888-444-2102. I got at least 50 emails on that last time because people want 8% instead of zero these days.
Yeah, that's because smart audience.
That's true.
Total consumer debt numbers are at what?
$12.7 trillion just came out from the Federal Reserve.
Come on.
So it's about $9 trillion in mortgages, student loans $1.3, car loans about $1.2 trillion, credit card just went over $1 trillion. And other kinds of debts out there. It's an all-time record high. Now, to some extent, it's because people are feeling confident, and when they feel confident in this country, they go out and borrow. That's the way it works. And they're buying homes and so on.
But let me ask you about the car loan piece, because I didn't realize car loans would pass credit cards.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because we had 17.5 million car sales last year, and people are getting in way over their heads. The delinquency rate on car loans has soared. It's about doubled in the last year because people took on a bigger car loan than they can afford at very high interest rates.
And, well, I don't have any interest in being a repo man, so how can I save money on my car loan?
So there's a website you can go to, which is called MyLoanGen.com, MyLoanGen.com, and you put in your existing car loan, the payment, how many more months you have to go, the interest rate, and they say, okay, what you do is you can change the maturity on your car loan to bring the payment down. So say it's today 3 years, and you go out to 6 years, hopefully the car will last that long, but your payment might just got cut in half by extending the maturity.
Well, and everybody in Detroit will tell you the same thing, and it's true. This is the reason you're not getting your oil changed every 15 minutes now, is the cars are made better.
Yeah.
And made to last, and people are holding their cars for 6 years, 10 years longer.
10 years in many cases. So it works, but I mean, people having $600, $700, $800 a month in car loans, and it's killing them. And at very high interest rates. The big growth in car loans is subprime, meaning people with bad credit scores. And the reason they do that, in the past, the lenders didn't like to make those loans because they had to chase you around when you didn't pay. But today they put these devices in your car, so the moment you don't pay, they can turn your car off. They disable it. You're in the middle of the Eisenhower Freeway or something.
Yeah, the Eisenhower Expressway, and they shut it down.
Exactly. So that's a way of picking up your car, but it's a little bit on the dangerous side, I would say.
Yeah, it's not favorable. All right, in my last 30 seconds, if you could change one investment thing in the world for the average person listening right now, what would you want them to know?
Well, certainly getting higher income instead of keeping the money in the bank. You're going to continue to get zero as far as the eye can see in the bank. So make your money work for you instead of being a victim all the time, which is what most people are.
Yeah, you're not spending it. It's just sitting there, and it's not making any money, and the bank's lending it out. So why not move it and make some money?
Make your money work for you instead of the bank. How about that for an idea?
MoneyAnswers.com. You're working on a new book?
I am. It's called, actually very timely this week, called Investing in the Era of Terror.
And you should see the ending that I've seen. Oh, it's incredible. They got to make it into a movie and a musical.
Yes.
MoneyAnswers.com. It's my friend Jordan Goodman. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
Back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
From the University of North Dakota, Jonathan Toews.
So Chicago skips by Kessel and takes Jonathan Toews, Winnipeg native, and he goes as the third overall pick.
The first selection of the 2007 National Hockey League entry draft belongs to the Chicago Blackhawks.
It's a historic pick. First time ever the Chicago Blackhawks have had the first pick. And we proudly select from the London Knights, the Ontario Hockey League, Patrick Kane.
10 years ago. This team's got to get younger.
June 22nd, 2007.
Kanner was on the show yesterday. Sounded good. And I know Toews is working hard this summer.
As usual.
As he usually does. Before long it'll be hockey again. But first, they got to get through the final. And then we'll get on with something pretty cool that's going on right here, and that's the NHL draft. Oh, by the way, Ottawa pushed to a Game 7.
Game 7 tomorrow night in Pittsburgh.
Canada, you still got a chance, baby. So you're saying there's a chance. And joining us on the phone, the NHL Chief Content Officer and Executive Vice President, Steve Mayer. You know, we like, us hockey nuts, we like a Game 7.
You should. It's going to be unbelievable. Yeah. Were you surprised what happened last night?
Oh, yeah, I was. I was definitely surprised. And, you know, listen, after Craig Anderson's horrible 36th birthday, good for him. Nice save.
Well, it's an exciting time here. I personally was in Nashville the other night where, the city has gone wild for hockey, and they have played just so well through the playoffs. I know that that's probably a sore point in Chicago.
Yeah, you know, it's not so much now because we're talking about it, and Dave Ennett's here. And Steve, Dave, and I both agree. We want the guys to beat the Hawks to win the whole thing.
Yeah, the theory of you got to beat the best to be the best, and you know they took them out in the first round. But you know the playoffs have been fantastic. The ratings have been great for us. We're extremely happy. Nashville a new market to get to the Stanley Cup final. And to, you know, to seriously, as we sit here, in one of my roles at the league is to run events and not know where we're going for the first game on Monday. Super exciting. And, you know, I do think it's anybody's game on Thursday night.
Yeah, it should be great. Pittsburgh playing a game seven for the second straight series. We saw what they did in Washington last round. But Steve, I know you will be quickly turning your attention to the draft, which will be coming to Chicago at the United Center on June 23rd and Friday, June 23rd, Saturday, June 24th. For folks who are planning to attend or interested in attending, what are the high points? What are the things that fans here can expect?
Well, I think one of the things, you know, if you're attending the event and you walk in, it's going to have a very different look than it's had in the past. We've changed our set. It's much more dynamic, a lot more graphics. There'll be a vibrancy and an energy to the draft that we have really taken a close look at and we think have improved dramatically. And, you know, our friends over at the Blackhawks have just been incredible partners to get us to this point. You know, we think we've got a wide open draft. So, you know, we're going to, within the next days, as the Stanley Cup Finals begin, start releasing as a league profiles on the prospects. So we hope that the fans in Chicago really know all the players that can be and will be drafted on June 23rd and June 24th. One of the great things that, you know, alongside the Blackhawks we are producing is a fan fest. It'll be outside the United Center. It'll involve everything from interactive games to our Centennial Fan Arena, which has, by the way, been traveling all over North America and will eventually get to all of our 31 teams next year. It will find its way to Las Vegas as well. There'll be alumni players. There'll be Blackhawk players, current players. They'll all be in attendance. You know, we think the Fan Fest will also be a great way to engage the fans of Chicago, give them a hockey experience in the summer after the season. So we're really looking forward to what we think is going to be a great weekend of activities in Chicago.
Steve has already asked, Steve Cochran has asked if he can get in the Clear the Ice Zamboni virtual reality experience.
Yeah, can I?
Yeah, listen, both of you guys should go up against each other because it's really a race. You know, you put the goggles on and you go through this virtual reality race. So you guys got to go against each other to see who's best. You know, but that's one part. And it just shows that, you know, listen, as much as you can go in a museum truck and check out the history of the league, remember this is our centennial year, 100 years of history, you can also have some fun. And there's games where you could put a stick in your hand, shoot a puck. We'll have that as well. And I guess the key to the whole experience is you can take a picture with the Stanley Cup. Stanley Cup's going to be in town Friday and Saturday. That's always the most popular of all the exhibitions. And we think it'll be as popular in Chicago. You guys know a little about the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, a little bit. And we love talking to the Cup, the keeper of the Cup, who has told us some stories. If that trophy could talk, that's the greatest trophy in sports. And it has seen more and done more and been through more than any other trophy. So it's pretty special. Well, it sounds like nothing but fun. And I'm going to save you some hassle, Steve, because I know how busy you guys get at the NHL office. Just do the draft here every year. Take that off your plate. Just do it here every year.
You know, it's not a bad recommendation. We will consider it. We'll consider it. Thank you for that recommendation.
Take it under advisement. I'll be on the Zamboni.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
No, thanks for the time, and we'll look forward to seeing you guys the weekend of the 23rd and 24th.
You bet. Steve Mayer, NHL Chief Content Officer and Executive Vice President, and again, Blackhawks.com for draft tickets, right? Just follow the
link. ChicagoBlackhawks.com, and draft tickets are available.
So we want a big, loud crowd for the draft.
Singing in my car. In my car, singing in my car, it's called karaoke, judged by John DeCause, John DeCause.
Judge Bajanda calls a judge of karaoke.
Yes, the musical director of the program, John DeCause, is here, but the real talent's clearly Christopher DeCause featured there.
Oh, without a doubt.
We have Walt, Zach, Brian, Kathleen, and Larry all ready to sing for you. Are you ready to be judgmental?
I am here. I'm ready. This is wonderful.
All right, so you guys listening on hold now. Walt, Zach, Brian, Kathleen, and Larry. We want to get to all of you, so we're going to go fairly quickly here. Starting with you, Walt. Are you a professional singer, Walt?
No, I'm very much an amateur.
Perfect for the show. What are you going to sing?
Well, just a quick background. I'm active duty Navy, and they stationed me in Naples, Italy. And the driving there is a bit interesting, and I do write song parodies, so I took a Kenny Rogers song and rewrote it. So that's what I'm going to sing for
wow,
you.
Wow, I like the creativity. Here you go. Here is Walt, Navy man.
You got to know when to speed up, know when to slow down, know when to slam your brakes, and know when to swerve. You never make eye contact when you're driving around in Naples. You can pray all that you want to, but you got to keep your nerve.
I like that. I like that. What was your job in the Navy?
I'm a doc. I'm actually working at the Lovell Federal Health Care Center now.
Good for you, man. Thank you for your continued service. And hold on. I want Walt to win. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I can't fix the contest. But I like him. He's good. Zach is in Gray's Lake. Hey, Zach.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm perfect right now. I'm excited.
All right. What are you going to sing for us, Zach?
I'm going to sing some Sublime. It's called Don't Push.
Oh. All right. All right. I'm going to sit back and allegedly enjoy this. All right, Zach, whenever you're ready.
All right. Thank you. Stolen from an Africa land and chased out with a knife, with a face like Bob Marley and a mouth like a motorbike. Oh, well, the bars are always open. The time is always right. And if God's good word goes unspoken, the music goes all night, and it goes, if I was by Miley, I said, could you be love? And if I was half final with my Lord up above, if I was Mike Tyson, I would look for a fight. And if I was a boomtown rat, I would be staying up all night. If I was the king of rock, I would get stupid dumb, and it rhymes with the young. I'd be gladly numb if I had a shotgun. You know what I would do? I'd point it straight up at the sky and shoot heaven all down for you, because the bars are always open.
All right, now take a breath.
Wow.
Take a breath, Zach. I don't want you to hurt yourself. I felt like he was channeling Bob Marley a little bit there.
That was
incredible.
That was Sublime.
Ah, tremendous. All right, Zach, hold the line. Pride of Gray's Lake. Brian's in Naperville. Hey, Brian. Brian, are you with me? Good morning, Brian.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. And what are you going to sing for us, Brian?
Little Johnny Cash, Folsom Prison Blues.
And how much time have you done?
Not any so far.
Okay.
Maybe after I sing.
All right. Well, good luck. Here's Brian, future convict from Naperville.
Well, I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend. I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. Because I'm stuck in Folsom Prison. And time keeps dragging on. When I hear that lonesome whistle on down from San Antone.
He's got a nice voice.
Yeah, very, nice.
Very
nice. Actually sounds like Johnny Cash. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, channeling dead Johnny Cash.
I like it. Way to go, Brian.
Brian, very impressive. Very impressive. Let's get a nice lady in here. Hello, lady. It's Kathleen from Barrington.
Hi there.
What are you going to sing for us, Kathleen?
I'm going to do a little throwback, too. I think I'm going to do a little Patsy Cline.
Oh, fantastic. Oh. I love Patsy Cline. You doing crazy?
I am.
All right.
Let me frame this up for you. I'm sitting in a bank parking lot, parked the wrong way in the spot, and people staring at me like I'm nuts.
I think the best place to be if you're singing crazy is in a bank parking lot.
and they think you're nuts, so this is good.
It's a perfect song.
We'll alert the authorities and give you a five-minute head start. All right, Kathleen, whenever you're ready.
There you go. Crazy, crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy, crazy for feeling so blue. I knew you'd love me as long as you wanted, and then someday you'd leave me
looking for somebody new.
Let me tell you something, Kathleen. I'd rather.
Let me keep going.
No, Kathleen, okay. Let me tell you something. I would rob a bank for you.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, thank
the
you.
The vibrato was phenomenal.
I don't know what that is, oh, but well. you sang really good.
You can get it from Burger King.
Kathleen, that was great.
You buy it there.
That okay. was great. Right.
Really good.
Yeah. Hold the line.
Not her first karaoke.
Wow.
Not her first not her first bank job. Larry.
Hey, how are you?
Bring it home, buddy. What are you going to sing?
Throwback also, a little Sinatra.
Oh, a little Frank. All right. Knock it out of the park. Larry, let me hear it.
Hold on. I always bring my kids to school, so she's getting in the car. And they get upset. They get upset because I sing.
Oh, this is perfect then. The kids are going to hate this.
Wait a minute. She's just getting in. Come on, Francesca. I'm on the radio.
Hi, Princess.
Get in.
Hi, Francesca.
Hi.
All right.
Hi.
I
don't judge your father.
All right. Now be nice to Daddy. All right.
Hold on.
Take your time, Larry. We're here until 10.
All right. Bye. All right. Ready?
Yes,
ready you are.
I'm going to sing my daughter's favorite song.
Go ahead.
Fly me to the moon and let me sing amongst the stars. Hold this cup. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words,
hold this cup.
Please be true. Hey, in other words, I love you.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yes.
Moon,
yeah.
And let me see.
You keep going. That's Larry in Frankfurt. Larry had a lot going on there.
Yes,
I don't
he
know if
did.
You noticed.
Hold the cup.
And he even threw in, remember when Frank threw that ad-lib in? Hey, Dino, hold the cup.
Hey, Dino, hold the cup.
Walt, Zach, Brian, Kathleen, Larry, very solid.
This is
strong. All good voices.
This is yes.
John's judgmental side better be good. We'll pick a couple of finalists today in the 9 o'clock hour. Thank you, guys. Hold the line if you would, and we're back after this with the news.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
Dean Richards live at Channel 9. I assume that's where you are.
Yeah.
Look around. Does it look like a newsroom?
There's Larry. There's Robin.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Robin.
Yep. We're here.
And
big
again,
number nine.
If you've not seen the Channel 9 news set, looks terrific.
It does.
Dave Ennett, you're going to be on it tonight.
I'm going to be on it tonight. Dean, is there anything, any tips as far as...
Wear blue.
Attire? Yeah.
They love
it's
the
mandatory.
Blue.
They won't even let you in the studio if you're not wearing blue.
Got to wear blue.
Really?
Which, by the way, I am not today, by the way.
So that's why you're in the newsroom.
that's why I have time to do this.
Are you doing all the newscasts? You doing the 4, the 5, the 5:45, the 6:15, the 7:11?
5, 6, 9, and 10.
Wow.
Shoot. Okay. They're busy.
Now, Dean, Dave can't hear me now, but when he does the 10, he's very cranky the next day.
I don't blame him.
It's unbelievable because usually
late.
He goes out with the staff, he throws back some, drinks with the crew,
yeah.
Rolls in about 30 minutes sleep later, he's in the car coming to work. It's rough. It's very, very rough.
Going out with Sapalsa, eating vegan food and wheatgrass juice.
Yeah.
Oh, nuts. Woo.
Boy, they're both so gassy the next day.
I also may be on some of those later shows. Helen Mirren is going to be honored in Chicago tonight. She's in town. She and her husband.
For her cursing?
For her naked pictures.
Oh.
One of the greatest actresses of all time. And her husband, director Taylor Hackford. They're both being honored by the Chicago Film Festival
well,
tonight.
Nice. I've never met her. Is she as cool as she
is
seems?
Absolutely delightful.
Well, tell her I would love to meet her someday, and she should put that in her schedule.
I'll bring her by the house after.
That'd be fantastic.
Bring her by the double wide.
That'd be fantastic. So what was she doing recently where she was cursing up a storm? Of course, I guess that's like any day with Helen Mirren.
That's not completely untrue.
Yeah, I'd have to check. I saw something on the internets. I don't know if you're familiar with the internets.
I'm not. I've heard the kids talking about it.
Yeah, but she was cursing up a storm, but in a funny way. Like she was doing a speech for somebody and she kept cursing. I don't know, but it was delightful.
Hey, Dean.
Good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you? Question. It seems like, you know, the British actors and actresses, it's a smaller group, but am I right or wrong? They just don't have the ego that a lot of the American actors have.
I find them very delightful.
Oh, good.
I don't know if I can make that.
So there's no Meg Ryans in the bunch? There's no...
I have not encountered any so far. I find the British...
How about a Tommy Lee Jones? You got a British Tommy Lee Jones?
I do not. No, they're very nice. They're in general... and I was commenting on this to somebody a couple of weeks ago because I was in London. We did some interviews there for the Alien movie.
Mm-hmm.
In I would say 99% so polite, so accommodating, very pleasant.
So John was exactly right about
all
that.
All the way around. I have not. John's correct in that they're very nice and. There seems to be minus some ego.
Well, there you go.
Apparently, Steve, this just in, the follow-up on Helen Mirren...
cursing?
Swearing like a sailor.
Mm-hmm.
She was on a show called Good Morning Britain.
Yep.
I'm guessing that might be a show that's on in the morning there.
Yeah, it's a breakfast chat show.
I'm just guessing.
Where they chat about breakfast.
You know, we're the fake media. We don't need any facts to make
presumptions.
That's
exactly right.
But apparently she was talking about some other people and dropped a few curse words in.
Yeah.
And then apologized.
That's on here, but it's called Late Afternoon.
Yeah, it's called Roe Show.
Yeah.
It's the Roe Con Show. All right, so here's what we'll do. We'll come back. We're going to talk about David Ross.
What she said. Ooh.
David, I like Roe. I don't know why you don't like Roe, Dean.
No, I'm looking at the comments from Helen Mirren of some of the things that she was saying.
Oh, really? They had the comments? Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, it's more than dropping a couple of words. This is...
Who did she take a shot at?
I like her even more. She was this account that I'm looking at right now, which comes from the Daily Mail in the UK.
Yeah.
Says that she was talking about, let's see here.
Did she name names?
She did name names.
She had a couple of shots, maybe right before she walked out on the scene.
She was talking with the presenters, Stephen England, those are the hosts,
yes.
The presenters, Kate Garraway, and she was you got to look it up yourself.
I will.
I can't think of any possible way to describe.
You can't tell me. Okay.
But I like her even more now. And I know exactly how I'm doing my red carpet interview with her today. You are going to hear a string of F-bombs coming out of me on this red carpet today.
Like it'd be perfect.
Never before.
She may leave her husband for you. The presenters of a breakfast chat show are, this is like an SAT question, are to Britain as the morning zoo crew is to the U.S., huh? See right. What I did there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
David, like the Eddie and Jobo of the UK.
What's the insurance stuff they hawk?
Are we in London or what?
Okay, I'd like to see a couple of proper Brits doing the United Auto Insurance jingle.
Yeah, you can get it over the telly.
We kid because we love. David Ross, Roger Moore, the FCC, Tom Cruise, John Stewart. What do they have in common? They're all coming up. And an update on the Manchester situation and Ariana Grande as well.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 972. Oh, 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 oh.
Back to Channel 9. Does it feel like we're living in the rainforest?
It does.
It's ridiculous how much rain we've got.
Can't do anything with my hair.
Yeah, same problem.
Sting just walked right at the window.
Did he? Yep. That's fantastic. Let's start with David Ross. He did not win last night.
Yeah. I feel bad, but you know what? He had a... I don't think anyone would have predicted he was going to be in the finals.
Nope.
Of Dancing with the Stars.
Nope.
I think he did a terrific job. He had some... fantastic weeks. He had a couple of off weeks, but he did an absolutely amazing job.
Well, apparently he's a closet stripper because, you know, the three-hour finale thing they do, Mary, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't he redo his Magic Mike dance?
I believe he did. I fell asleep at that point, but yeah.
So apparently he can't wait to take his clothes off in public.
He did take, but you know what? He had a fake chest.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
That's funny.
It was
for the strip,
little...
for the strip, you mean?
Yeah, so he could have a six-pack.
Just a little
sounds like
shield.
Someone was asleep with one eye open. Or...
Well, at least the
right.
first
Grandpa
time he did it, it was...
Grandpa Rossi, you naughty boy.
Turn a video on for the kids. Grandma and Grandpa have something to talk about.
Yeah, I had the time of my life, too. So, NFL running back Rashad Jennings wound up winning last night.
And he doesn't have an NFL job now, does he, Dave? Let's go live to Dave in the NFL.
He does not.
So
he's
maybe he'll just
agent.
Be the dancer.
No, he's going on tour with them. He already said. Mm-hmm.
So he's done with the NFL.
It's going to be hard to play if you're on tour with
the stars. He said he can practice at the same time. That's what he said.
Class act, David Ross, after the show, tweets, huge congrats to Mirror Ball champs, Rashad Jennings and Emma Slater. You guys deserve it. I couldn't be happier for you.
And then he bad-mouthed them behind their backs because, you know, Ross.
Showbiz.
No, he just seemed like he enjoyed the whole thing. It's no wonder people voted for him.
Yeah, he did.
Speaking of great runs, Roger Moore was, what, 89?
89 years old.
It's a pretty good run.
Really good run and an amazing career, not only as James Bond, but with several television series through the years. He always said that he was most proud of the work that he did with UNICEF. He was a UNICEF ambassador probably for about 25 years.
Yep.
He was knighted by Queen Elizabeth for that reason, for his charitable work, and always talked about how proud he was of that. And, you know, had played James Bond longer than any other actor who is.
Well, I didn't know that. He's
that
the
role.
Longest Bond?
The longest running James Bond.
But wasn't he also the guy that said, what kind of secret agent is recognized everywhere he goes? Like he was sort of making fun of it?
He always kind of made fun of the role a little bit and. You know, the James Bond persona. He said that, first he used to say that Sean Connery was his favorite James Bond. A couple of years ago in an interview, he changed his mind and said that Daniel Craig is now his favorite James Bond. I think a lot of people would say that Roger Moore is, you know, was the quintessential. Pierce Brosnan yesterday, who inherited the role in 1995, wrote about his friend, Sir Roger Moore, and said, you were magnificent, James Bond, one that led the way for me. The world will miss you and your unique sense of humor. Paul McCartney also commenting yesterday. Paul McCartney, who wrote and performed the theme song for Roger Moore's first James Bond movie, Live and Let Die, said that Roger had a heart of gold, a great sense of humor, and will be missed by many. So here are the here's his James Bond portfolio.
Okay.
Live and Let Die.
Yep.
Man with a Golden Gun.
Yep.
Spy Who Loved Me.
Yep.
For Your Eyes Only.
Yep.
Moonraker. Octopussy.
Mm-hmm.
And View to a Kill.
I was just trying to find the delay button before you said Octopussy. Yeah, well, he was great. He was absolutely great. And he was a good talk show guest, too. I remember seeing him with Carson and a bunch of people. He was always entertaining.
Yeah, we. When I say we, I mean Antenna TV, because it is part of the Happy Tribune Media family.
Uh-huh.
We ran a 1982 episode of Roger Moore on Johnny Carson last night.
Well, what a coincidence.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise is doing another Top Gun. Isn't he too old for this?
He confirmed. Well, we don't know what role he's going to have exactly.
The cranky colonel on the ground. You know, when I flew these gas buckets.
That's what I'm wondering. If there's some new young mavericks, if you'll excuse the pun there. But if he's going to be, you know, like the cranky drill instructor.
Yeah, for Zac Efron and somebody else who takes their shirt off.
Yeah, but at the last minute, they can't go, you know, they can't fly. You know, they just had a sandwich, and everyone knows you have to wait 30
minutes.
Tom Cruise
comes out with his walker, and they catapult him into the cockpit.
Highway to clink, 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 the danger zone.
Well, he looks fabulous. Look, he's my age. He looks 20 years younger. And I'm sure he could pull it off. And by the way, have you noticed that every Tom Cruise movie lately, he ends up on the outside of the plane?
That's right.
Stay in the plane.
You don't need no cockpit.
Jon Stewart's HBO show not going to happen?
No, it's not.
What's up with that?
Apparently there have been some technical issues. This was going to be an animated series that Jon Stewart was going to do for HBO, And yesterday they issued a joint statement. I think that means they were smoking marijuana they were issuing.
That's exactly what it is.
Saying that there were technical issues that they couldn't deal with, apparently. So they just decided to can the animated series. HBO still, it did also say that they have some future projects that they're planning with Jon Stewart. So he'll be back.
Him re-upping his subscription at the house?
In some way. Walk on Veep, you know, maybe something like that.
Well, Jon Stewart has gone a little bit of the Letterman route in that, you know, he grew out a beard, but he took it one step further. And I'm pretty sure I'm right about this. He has a llama farm.
There is an animal sanctuary that it's mostly his wife's pet project,
but it's like his life work now.
But now it also, this animal sanctuary has become his life work. And
you can't animate characters for a talk show if you're busy with llamas.
They take a lot of time. People don't realize how time consuming just llama paper training is.
It really is. And by the way,
it's difficult.
Walk your llama is the phrase that pays, and yes, it meant what I said it then. All right, now let's go live to Manchester and hope that everything is, getting a little calmer in the days ahead, because there's still people that haven't been accounted for and all that. And Ariana Grande, while nobody talked about her that night, look, she's alive. She's okay, but
she's 23
she's a
years
kid.
Old.
I feel terrible for her.
23 years old, and this, I mean, this is, you know, obviously the number one concern is with victims and for some of the concert goers who have not been accounted for yet, the people who have been injured, the 22 who have been killed and their families. I can't imagine how some of the families must feel whose children are still unaccounted for. That's got to be unbelievable. But Ariana Grande has said to have been inconsolable. She continues, according to reports, to be completely devastated by what happened. Yesterday, she and her mother got on a private jet, returned home to Boca Raton, Florida. That's near where she grew up. Her longtime boyfriend was there waiting for her at the gate. And she said she just wants to be with her family, just wants to be with her loved ones right now. An interesting story came out, though, yesterday. Ariana's mother was in the front row of the concert when the bomb went off.
No, you're kidding.
That's when pandemonium broke out. She takes a whole group of panicked young kids, takes them backstage to safety, and stays with them until pretty long time, until, you know, they were able to safely leave the arena, contact their families and so forth. But, mom being mom to other people who are in the audience as well.
And by the way, for everybody, for these lunatic, cockroach, creepy, coward sons of bitches who do this and kill these kids, who think you're turning the world upside down and everybody's going to see things your way, Muslim and Sikh cab drivers were picking up little kids and taking the kids to safety, whatever that meant in Manchester at the time, because the community gets together. This is one selfish, crazy, dead guy now, and it doesn't change the world.
Yeah, if anything, it has unified people even more, has brought people together. As I said yesterday, I can't conceive how anybody thinks this is productive to their cause in any way.
No, it's insane. Insane would be an upgrade. Thank you, buddy.
All right.
Back with a big story next, 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We did things that were happening, things that had happened, things that were going to happen.
Chicago Fire Department is going and checking all extra fire equipment that they have in firehouses or that they have. They're putting in a heightened alert around federal and government buildings.
Wally started me. Wally gave me my break. I was a beat policeman driving around in a blue and white squad car.
Chicago Fire Department is going and checking all extra fire equipment that they have in firehouses or that they have. They're making sure that they are gassed and they're equipped.
Tomorrow, it's Walk of Fame Day. And during the Walk of Fame, a whole list of legends will join Dave Edit, amongst others. Spike Odell. Spike will be on next hour with us. But it's an honor. But you're enshrined as a legend of this radio station and a very important part of Chicago broadcast history. I know you were honored when you were named.
It was a tremendous honor. I'm still can't quite believe it.
Larry Schreiner was something else. Larry Schreiner, and I only knew Larry for a little bit because, you know, I didn't get here until 2000. I don't know if you know, I was thrown out once. But I always enjoyed Larry, and we had a good time on the air. But there's a guy who never missed anything because he came from being a copper, as he said. And when he was a reporter, he was, honestly, who reminds me of now is Ryan Burrow. We're just talking about this off the air. Ryan Burrow's got a little bit of the Larry Schreiner thing in him, mm-hmm. right? Just a nose for news.
But yes. Ryan doesn't call me ma'am.
Wait, you want to change that up?
Always would call up, good morning, ma'am. And then he'd go on.
That's a cop polite, right?
Yeah. Put this on right away. Okay. It was hilarious.
And you worked with Larry too, didn't you?
I did. Yes. Yeah. And I remember, Larry knew every police officer, seemed like, every fire captain. If there was a question, if I had a question about a story involving an athlete, I went to Larry and Larry would get the story.
Let's get the Larry's sons on here, Mark and Matt, twin boys, as a matter of fact. Which one do you want first? Does it matter? You just lock it up when I get it in here? Mark, hello, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. Steve, no sir from you.
And he just heard wow, he does Larry said, it's sir and ma'am.
Yep. That was in honor of my dad.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, aren't you on a radio, Mark?
Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, in Tampa, Florida.
What station?
A very nice national public radio station, WUSF.
All right. Well, I hope that's going great. Your dad would be very proud.
It is.
And Matt joins us as well. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Oh, boy. The two of you.
you were trained well.
what are you doing with your life, Matt?
I am a stay-at-home father currently.
Well, that's a great job. How many kids?
Yeah. Two. I have a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old, and then I'm going to be going back to work, and my wife's going to be taking the time to be with the kids starting this summer. So
that's a pretty good plan. You're a lucky guy. I hope you enjoy the time while you have it.
I have. Thank you.
All right. So, Mark, tell me first. I never saw your dad set up with the scanners, but he was scanner famous. Like, when you would go visit your dad, was it just beeps and buzzes going on the entire time?
You know what? When I finally moved out of the house, I had to like just turn on a radio so I would always have some natural background noise because you'd get used to the scanner. Like, he told us as well when we were young children, we would sit on his lap and literally the lights of the scanners, the old LEDs, would be like put us to sleep. So I don't know, maybe what, Matt, about 12, 16 radios in the den, and then another four or five in the car.
And he had at least one or two in the bedroom, too.
And Matt, this is way before cell phones, so were there a number of phones in the house? Did he have a red phone for the fire department? I never knew how he handled his calls.
A bat phone.
He had two lines, I think, but he had a cell phone early on when they were like, it was mounted in the car, and it had to be hooked into the battery itself, not even in the cigarette lighter. And then he also had one of those early cell phones handheld where the battery was probably about a good 5 inches wide.
I just never, ever, ever, Mary and Dave could speak to this better than I could. I never saw him miss a story. He was ahead on everything.
No, I'm telling you. If there was a crime story or police story involving an athlete, if I called him, he knew immediately who to call in what precinct and what district, and he would get the entire story like that.
And he never slept, and I think he was on the most with Steve and Johnny overnight.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's where he got all
Steve and
stories.
Johnny and Ed as well, Eddie Schwartz.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the cool news, the great news for Collins and for Wally first, but then Bob Collins and Spike, was by the time they got on, they knew if it was a big story or not because Larry had found it, reported on it, and vetted it.
Exactly.
You know, there was one time.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Mark.
There was one time when we were young. Mom talked him into going on vacation, probably for the first time since he had started at WGN. And exactly. I want to say it was Union Station fire. I think Union it was. Station.
Yes.
Yeah. And we watched him sitting on the couch at this vacation home, just basically chewing his fingers off. He was so mad that he was missing this story.
We were in Michigan, and we were sitting by the lake, and I thought he was sitting on the beach watching the fire across the lake.
It very well could have been, yeah.
So he couldn't relax because he felt like he was missing a story.
a big fire like that. Yeah.
Well, he was great on the air because, you know, and I don't know who taught him this. Maybe it was Wally. But he knew how long to talk. You know, the guys in TV that come from radio are the best people on TV because they could ad-lib. But if you told Larry you had 90 seconds, he'd give you 90 seconds. He would ad-lib, he'd give you a beginning, middle, and end, and it would hit right at 90 seconds. I mean, the guy was made to do it. And obviously, he didn't know it until Wally pulled him out of the police ranks and put him on the air.
And then you keep mentioning Wally, and, I mean, Matt and I can never say enough for what Wally Phillips, what Bob Collins, and what the people around WGN, when Dad first started, what they did for him and, you know, what they meant for his career. You know, I had to tell him, because I got into the radio business when he was wrapping up his career, I had to explain to him that radio was becoming more of a business, and you don't get in at a station and stay for 30, 35, 38 years, whatever it was.
35 minutes is a good career.
But, yeah, I mean, it was just the idea that you know, WGN took a chance on a guy who had no experience, and Wally took the chance, and it just added to Wally's show, and it just, you know, made my dad's career.
Well, he got it. He got the character of this place and how important this place was to the city, and the listeners loved him. Man, I tell you, even in the last years of his career, you'd go out somewhere, you'd meet people, and he was always on the list. Hey, you know Larry? What's Larry like? So, well,
we were very fortunate shortly before Dad passed in 2014 that we got asked to come back on. Dad got asked to come back on during one of the shows, and it was a remote. And just to see the people who he hadn't had the chance to talk to in a number of years, the love that they gave him, it meant so much to him. It really did. I was fortunate to be with him that day, and it was really wonderful.
Yeah, I bet.
Don't you guys kind of get the impression that as he really became a figure who was heard so frequently on the station and a key player on, like, on Bob's show, that he really enjoyed it when he would go out in public and people saw him not only as this terrific reporter, but also as kind of a radio personality?
I was going through his correspondence that he had saved. After he passed, he had so much stuff that he saved, all the letters he got from listeners. And I think that it really meant something to him that people, you know, responded to what he did. They appreciated what he did, and they found him to be an important part of their lives, so they were an important part of his life, too. He never had a bad word to say about anybody who came to him to say good things, or, you know, even ask him questions. Or a lot of people knew he could help them with things, and they would ask him, you know, for favors.
Sure.
And if he could help listeners out somehow, he would do it.
He got me out of jail. You know that, Dave. Yeah, he sprung me. Yeah. Made a couple of calls. That's all you needed with Larry. Larry, can you make a call? Larry was the ultimate I got a guy. Oh, I got a guy.
Oh, yeah.
And he always delivered. Hey, are you guys able to make it in?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I'm flying in tonight, so weather permitting, but I will definitely be there tomorrow morning.
All right, Mark and Matt, great catching up with you. We'll see you tomorrow for the Walk of Fame and a highly deserved honor, the great Larry Schreiner. And everybody sounded more like Chicago than Larry Schreiner?
No. Right? I mean,
you knew what town you were listening to.
Quintessential Chicago.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
CLTV and 720 WGN. And Kristen Press is here. It's nice to meet you, Happy. Isn't that what you told? I remember reading ESPNW did like a 20 questions thing with you. And one word that would describe you, Happy.
Yeah, I like that word.
You smile all the time.
I try to smile all the time.
Smile when you're playing all the time.
I do, because I'm having fun.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? You're playing soccer, for crying out loud.
Some people have their game face. I have a smile.
You trash talk at all?
Absolutely not. I'm too busy smiling.
No, I was going to say.
She said absolutely not, but she shook her head yes. So yeah. I feel like that was a confusing
message.
Wouldn't
it be cool if you could trash talk a little bit while you're smiling? Because nobody would see it coming. Like, oh, Kristen, she's so nice. Meanwhile, you're taking them down.
I'll keep that in mind.
The U.S. National Women's Team, Kristen Press is here. There's a cool event coming up with Good Sports. But before we get to that, how are you?
I am great. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. But your health, your feeling, your body?
Feels pretty good. You know, I'm getting a little older each year, but also a little wiser, so I'll take it.
How old?
28.
Oh, my God. How do you do it? 28.
It's ancient in the athlete world.
How long, you know, at your level, at the highest level of playing women's soccer, what is an average career? How long can you go?
I think if you go into your 30s, you're doing great. If you want to push it, we've had a few players that have made it to their late 30s. We have a player in our league that's 41 right now, so you can push it for as
41
long as
is very youthful, if I could just speak for 41.
For 41? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the U.S. National Women's Team, for those people that want to follow it, what's the best way to do that? Just hit the website?
Yeah, the website where you...
I mean, it could chase you all over on social media and stuff, but just to follow the team.
Social media's big. Fox Sports, we're on. ESPN. Right. Well, come to a game. That's the best experience, of course.
And what's the state of women's soccer in Chicago?
It's awesome. You know, we're in our fifth season as an NWSL. And
with the team. The team's name is?
The Chicago Red Stars.
I want to make sure everybody knows.
The Chicago Red Stars. This is our fifth season, and we're in third place right now, and we're chasing the top of the table.
Nice. And who's first?
The North Carolina Courage.
Yeah, they're cheaters.
And
yeah,
we just beat them this weekend. So
oh, you did?
We're
good.
Coming for them.
Good, good, good. And you guys play your home games where?
At Toyota Park in Bridgeview.
So, again, tickets, just Google it up. Just Google That's Chicago right. Red Stars or Kristen Press. Who inspired you as a kid to play soccer?
You know, I started playing soccer with my sisters. And in California, everyone sort of just goes out there. And I just wanted to be able to hang with my older sister, Tyler. So we started playing together, and I was kind of chasing her through my whole youth career.
And did she turn out to be pretty good as well?
She did. She ended up playing at Harvard.
Yeah, not so bad. And That's where did you go to school?
I went to Stanford.
You slackers. Harvard, Stanford. So your grades obviously were great, too.
They were all right. Soccer definitely helped me a bit, but I really liked to learn, and I really liked school. So,
we got a couple guys in the studio here, your posse, your Jay-Z posse, as I call them. We were talking about what do you do after soccer. You know, you went to Stanford. What are you going to, like, break down DNA in the basement? What are you going
to
be doing?
No, nothing like that. I think that I would like to stay in the sport and try to, you know, try to help people. And so I think... maybe if I can find a way to make soccer more accessible to more people, that would be a great thing for me to do.
Now, at 28, I'm 56, so you're literally half my age. But at 28, women's sports have changed, and there was a lot of controversy in the past year. Women ought to be paid every bit that men are paid. I don't know where that stands legally and how it's coming, but are you optimistic for girls who are coming up in the sport, you know, the next generation?
Absolutely. You know, we had, as the U.S. Women's National Team, we had a big push this year to be paid more equitably to our male counterparts. And it was hugely successful in a lot of ways. And I think the best part of it is that we are at the forefront, and we can always push the game further in terms of how we're getting paid, but also in terms of the quality of how we're playing. And I think that the girls that are coming up are going to be in a much better place than, you know, our predecessors.
Yeah, and you want to leave it better than you found it, right?
Absolutely.
Were you heartened by that, Kristen, that you did get so much support when you were going through that push?
Yeah, the public really seemed to come out and go, yeah. Of course.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, that's hugely important to us because, you know, we're 20 girls. Our Players Association is really small. So without the support of everybody else, we wouldn't have been half as powerful.
And the Red Stars supportive of the national women's team and stuff because the schedule has got to get a little crazy.
It is very crazy. And in the past years, we've missed a lot of club games for the national team. But now it's working hand in hand. And hopefully I'm not missing any games this year. And we were able to do both.
All right. So I kind of asked you a trail of questions and I left it on the table. But it goes to the good sports connection we're going to talk about in a second. So you're playing with your sisters. When do you realize you're pretty good? Was there a coach or somebody that said, hey, you're pretty good, and then you could take it to the next level?
Well, my parents always told me I was pretty good.
Yeah, but parents will say it.
But you know what? I believed them because, of course, you do. And I think that that's really what pushed me along. My dad actually took my my team and went club with us, which was at the time like a big deal.
Was your dad a player?
No, he was a football player.
Okay.
But he's just a pushy man. So he decided we were going to go to the next level. He took the whole team.
That's great.
And found us some legitimate coaches. So my mom and dad no longer had to coach me. And off we were.
Well, that's great. And did you have a soccer mentor prior to Stanford?
Not very much. Not really.
Who is your idol? Mia Hamm or somebody coming
up? Oh, yeah. Mia, Christine, Julie. I was in the 99 era watching that World Cup in L.A. So.
Yeah, because you would have been, what, 10, 11 years old or something? Yeah. So you get. I assume you've met most of them through the years.
Yeah, all of them now, which is a cool thing.
And are you a complete goofball when you meet them because they're your idols?
You know, they kind of now are in the stands watching us, and that's when I kind of get to interact with them. So it's a cool role reversal.
You ever look up in the stands and go, "Holy crap, that's Mia Hamm!"
Yeah, exactly.
That's got to be nothing but fun.
It's very fun.
All right, so advice for parents who are coaching girls. Obviously, don't overcoach them. If a girl wants to play and loves it, gets up in the morning and is thinking about it, when can I go, when can I play, that's a great sign, right? That's absolutely. When you encourage?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it has to be innate passion. You don't want to push someone too far when they're too young, but when they have that passion, train, because it's all about how much time you spend on the field.
Samberg, you're the youngest person on the show. Oh, I guess Mike would be.
Yeah.
But you think it's still time for you to get out there?
You know, I did play soccer in high school, so I had a career, but I retired at 18.
Really? Was there a big ceremony?
There wasn't. And we had a dad that was very involved. Megan and Stacy Malador's dad made, we would walk out to the Bulls music. He did all of our names.
Nice.
You know, so Mary Sandberg, number 13.
Nice.
Right forward. You know,
Dave, did you do any of Sandberg's games?
No, I did not. I was not asked
Carmel
to.
Carmel High School in Mundelein? No.
Yeah, I would have been happy to do that. Okay. I was not asked.
You know, in the world of Northwestern sports, which, of course, you're Mr. Cat.
Go Cats.
How's the Northwestern soccer team?
They've had a very good program. Mm-hmm. And they've had a lot of success in the last decade or so. The men have come up and started to won a couple of Big Ten championships, I think, in the last, 5 or 6 years. So, they have a strong women's program. Yeah.
With the women's soccer, do most people go to college and then come from college, or does anyone come out of high school and play, like, for the national team?
Most people go to college. We have a lot of people that don't finish college. And recently we actually have had the first slew of players who are not going to college to go straight to the pros, which is very new for us. And I think it shows the growth and the financial stability of our league.
That you can go right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And women's professional soccer is growing, I think, faster than the men's league is. The men's league has had a million different incarnations over the last generation plus. So it's a good time. It's a good time to be in the sport.
It's a great time to be in women's soccer.
Yeah. We'll come back. We'll talk about good sports. I love what good sports does. They make sure the equipment gets in the hands and the feet of kids that really need it so they can get out there and be active. And you're doing something cool this weekend with them. So we'll talk about that next. Kristen Press is here if you want to say hi. Or text us, 312-981-7200. I'll give you Kristen's cell phone number before she leaves. It's 919 on 720 WGN. Steve Cochran Show continues live on SEAL TV and on 720 WGN. Good sports make sure kids can become lifelong athletes, and whatever level athlete is to you, and make sure kids are physically active. We know how important that is now more than ever. Sporting goods manufacturers partner with good sports to make sure equipment gets to kids who need it most, get them off the sidelines, get them in the game. It hasn't been around that long, only about 15 years now, but it's contributed over $20 million in equipment to more than 3,200 programs all over the place. And I got the date wrong. It's actually Saturday, June 3rd, a week from this Saturday, at Hanson Stadium on West Fullerton. You're going to meet with a bunch of kids who are going to be the beneficiaries of a check you're going to present from Good Sports.
I am.
It's exciting.
I think I'm going to watch some youth soccer on Saturday.
Yeah, you might do a little scouting.
I don't know.
See the next big star, the next Kristen
crop
Press.
Of women's soccer players. For
everybody's invited. This is a very nice thing that's going to be happening. Can I announce the amount of the check? Can I announce what you're doing? The equipment, I said a check, but the equipment, I believe it's $43,000. $43,000 in equipment is a huge deal for these programs that struggle to, you know, find whatever they need. And we should be proud of that.
Absolutely. I think, you know, equipment is the thing that's keeping girls from playing soccer. Then this is a monumental occasion. So many more girls are going to have access and opportunity to play. And, you know, soccer has given me so much in my life. And to be able to share that with people and give them the opportunity to cultivate their passion will be awesome.
And equipment bags and shin guards and soccer balls and full-size soccer goals, which is a big deal, too, because if you're a little kid, you're shooting at something that's small. Once you get to be a little bit bigger than a little kid, you got to make sure that you're shooting at the right size.
That's very important, target practice.
Yeah. So it's a good thing. The best place to find out more about Good Sports, I assume, is the website, right? Yeah. Google Good Sports. Google
Good Sports. Yeah, goodsports.org.
Yeah. And find out more. How did you know about these guys?
I know about them because my husband, he emcees their big event every year.
Pat Boyle, Comcast Sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's so, I always cry when I'm there because you think like sports, oh, like that would be lighthearted or something. But they have all these stories of, they will like honor teachers or coaches there and schools that called Good Sports and said, you know, we don't have shorts for our kids to run track because a lot of these schools are kids are coming from households where they don't have extra clothes even to like so they couldn't even run track, which you think is like the easiest thing because you just need shoes and shorts. And so there's schools that if you think about you're having a soccer practice but you only have one ball and you have, you know, 20 kids or whatever that are showing up for a team, you can't have a practice. Like there's things that we all take for granted, you know, they have the equipment. And so they just give it, and then that's a life changer. It gives you something, you know, and it's new stuff. It's like stuff, cool stuff that you would want, like not just, you know, a hand-me-down or
you get a slick gear bag.
Yeah, so it's really important to everybody. We all played, and you know, my parents just went out and bought the stuff I needed, and this doesn't happen for a lot of kids.
No, because there's a lot of kids who are outside the sport, if not for the help of Good Sports, and you're focusing on elementary age kids too. And girls.
Yeah. This was girls in particular, which is why I care a lot about it, because I was a young girl.
Middle school, I think.
Yeah.
Fifth, eighth.
Yeah. Elementary and middle school? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, again, support Good Sports, and thank you guys for doing this. And, again, it's next weekend, the 3rd, at Hanson Stadium, 5501 West Fullerton Avenue in Chicago. Before I let you go, I was looking at this ESPNW thing, the 20 questions, answers. Uh-oh. Well, you were in the body issue for ESPN. Was that last year?
Last summer, yep.
I would assume you probably heard as much about that as you did anything you've done in your career, right?
Yes, I definitely did.
Yeah, and no regrets, though.
No regrets.
And you've spoken a lot about body image for women, which is a big deal. Now, you said your body was made for soccer. What does that mean?
I think that if I didn't play soccer, I would be very thin and frail. And I've developed muscles probably from training and, you know, all the exercise exactly and only where I need them. So a lot of my teammates are just more robust everywhere, a little stronger, a little stockier. But I have muscles just in the areas that I need them to score goals and run very fast.
Sounds like a Michael Phelps thing. Michael Phelps' arms are like 47 feet long and perfect for swimming. Well, it's fascinating, right? Did you realize it then or before then?
Then being the body issue?
Yeah.
I think I realized before then, but I think it was pretty obvious in the pictures as well.
All right, now I'm looking at the 20 questions. Pre-game meal. What's your pre-game meal?
An omelet.
Well, what are you getting out of the omelet? Why is the omelet so important? Because you're running 6 miles
in a game. Yeah, getting out of the omelet. Proteins, veggies, you know, easily digestible, maybe some toast on the side.
That's interesting because remember when we talked to, was it Vinny Inestroza? He said he eats a baked potato before a hockey game.
Yeah, yeah.
He said the same thing of the potato, but there's no protein in a potato. But just a plain baked potato.
But if you talk to like Jonathan Toews, he would tell you, you know, the carefully chemically balanced things that he's eating. But you pay attention to obviously everything you eat. You're an athlete. Your body's got to work.
I do. I love food though, so I have to constantly keep myself in check.
What's a pig out for you?
My favorite food is French fries. I could have French fries every meal.
Your go-to fries? Ways.
Go-to fries, In-N-Out. Favorite fries, like a little truffle. Oh.
Can I tell you something? Because you and I are friends. We go way back to 9 o'clock. I think In-N-Out fries are overrated. Now, don't yell. Don't throw anything at me.
You're from Chicago. You don't have
No, but the In-N-Out burgers are great.
Yeah.
Burgers are great. But they give you the burger, and they throw these fries. I don't know.
Agree to disagree.
All right. We'll still be friends. That's why you're so happy. And your go-to karaoke song is Hey Ma.
Hey Ma.
And you're going to do that all for us right now.
I'm absolutely not going to do that.
Well, it's great to meet you. I love your smile. I love how happy you are about life in general. It sounds like you come from an amazing family.
Do.
And I think you're going to be very inspiring to the girls who show up and the families for a Good Sports event next weekend.
I think it's going to be a great event, so I hope to see everyone out there.
All right, where do we follow you on social media?
On Instagram, full name, Kristen Press.
Okay.
Twitter, same.
Okay.
Pretty standard.
Kristen has the special spelling, Christen.
That's right.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to kick it around here a little bit in the studio. I'm going to show Kristen a couple of moves.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog.
Let's be honest. There's a lot of talk about the fifth Beatle. I think we know who the fifth Beatle is. One Spike Odell. Good morning, Spikey.
The things that you do will make me feel all right.
Hello, buddy.
That's a karaoke submission right there.
That is good. You know what? You just won karaoke.
Yeah, I did. Good. Thank you. Thank you.
Congratulations.
And Spike just had his what birthday, Spike?
Let me put it this way in a Beatles song. Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Yeah. Boom.
Somebody asked me the other day, how many years have you been retired now?
Well, it's coming up on it's coming up on 9 because nine I retired years. When I was 55.
Yeah.
So, yeah. 9 years. Holy moly.
I remember,
Steve, what are we still doing here?
Exactly. We're 56. We're overtime. I remember.
Hey, I just got a little verklempt a second ago when I heard Mr. Cat talking about the golf tournament out there at Rich Harvest Farms.
Yeah.
That's the first place you and I met. Cue the romantic music. That's right. The first place you and I met, Cochran. You realize that?
Yeah, no, I remember because Spike and I ran in slow motion towards each other across a field of wheat.
Yeah, as
we were headed for the first tee.
Yeah.
I remember you didn't know if you would like me, and then it turned out you did, and I knew I'd like you.
There's a story there, yeah. You're absolutely right. I thought, you know, when I saw the Perry sheet, I thought, oh, my gosh, I got to work with I got to play golf with Cochran today. And you know what? After 18 holes, I think we were best friends.
That's right. Your little brother forever, whether you like it or not.
I'm feeling a little neglected here, Spiker.
Oh, what's that, buddy?
I'm feeling a little neglected.
Oh, no. You know, that love music is for you, too, David. You know that.
All right.
I love you.
Say
okay,
it, Dave. Say it.
Well, Spike Odell.
Let me put it this way in a Beatles song. All you need is love.
Yes, that's true. That's true. You're not wearing pants, are you?
This is the very first time, I was just thinking about it before we went on the air, this is the very first time I ever booked myself onto this show.
Now, let me explain to people. You are a devoted member and a permanent member of the WGN family first, but you are a devoted member of a very small club, and that is the Walk of Fame Club. And you really, really, really wanted to be here tomorrow, but you can't be.
I can't be, and it rips me up because, you know, a lot of these people that are going into the Walk of Fame, you know, we grew up together on the radio on my show, and it tears me apart, and I've tried to work every angle to be there, but I just can't do it. I can't do it. And the kicker was, tomorrow, the very day of the ceremony, we are closing on a new house we bought.
No, I didn't even know you were moving, because I like your old house. Can I have it?
Yeah, come on down. You can have it. I'm selling it if you want it.
Where are you moving?
We are moving. I'll put it this way. The draw of the grandchildren just got too much. You know,
so you're moving closer.
Yeah, we're moving closer to the grandchildren. They're south of Nashville and Franklin and Brentwood. So we
It's funny because you think of Nashville as, you know, it's a good-sized town, but it's certainly smaller than Chicago.
Yeah,
but Spike's in one burb, and his son is in another, and you guys got to be on. It's like Naperville to the city. It's got to be an hour.
It is. It's an hour down and an hour back. And now with we don't miss soccer games or little league games or whatever. You know, every recital, every play, you're down there, and it's just, you know, when you do that 3-4 times a week, yeah. Let's get a little bit closer. And as a matter of fact, we wanted to get close. I'm not sure we wanted to get this close. We're only two streets over from Michael's house. I think you were there, weren't you?
Yeah, you and I went by the house. You got a great house.
Spike, you're going to be babysitting right every day. There. You're going to be babysitting all the time.
So Spike reached out to you, Steve, and he said, I want to come on because I can't be there. So I reached out to Spike, and I said, can we do on Thursday in the time I've allotted for Walk of Fame discussion on the schedule?
Yeah.
And then Spike said, I can't do that.
I need to
do Wednesday. So then I said, okay, Wednesday, 9:40. And then he said, okay, I'm going to need a reminder. And I'm like, you asked me to come on.
You know what? You're absolutely right. We are just slammed. You know, we go months without doing anything other than back and forth to soccer games and stuff. But this next month and a half, I've never been busier. I mean, we're about ready to take off for Alaska. We got family coming in tomorrow, actually, tomorrow night they're coming in for a couple of days. Then we're off to Alaska, and then, you know, we start a move. So it's just, it's crazy down here. But I do want to say...
Well, let me throw some names at you. Annie Maxfield.
I love her. She's my, you know, more than a co-worker, she's kind of a soulmate. She's, you know, somebody that I can call up and talk to and have many times. And we've, I love her. And she as well as most of these people I will mention, she just made me better, you know?
Same here when you work with me.
Yeah.
Larry Schreiner.
Larry Schreiner is a continuing Saturday Night Live skit.
Max Armstrong just texted me. He said Larry's windbreaker always smelled like smoke because he always just came from a fire.
Larry was the most devoted employee. He had love for Bob Collins and Wally, and was devoted to the station like no one you will ever meet. He would do anything for that radio station.
Next, give me a name.
Well, it's Mike Mathis.
Oh,
people don't realize how funny Mike Mathis is.
I totally agree.
He's hilarious. I mean, that guy had some of the, you know, I back up and listen to some of the audio. He just cracked me up.
And great timing.
More time in the air than I had on the air, I think.
Yeah, and great timing with Mathis, where, you know, he would never derail you. He'd stick and move.
Yeah.
You know, he had like a boxer's moves. He'd say something hilarious and he'd back out.
Yeah.
All right, hit me again.
Link. I mean, what do you say about Link? You know, here's a guy, just this shy guy comes in with this deep voice and starts doing, you know, the traffic reports out there in the window, and then they got women walking by holding out their telephone number to him, you know, outside, you know. It's just, he's
well, you made him a star.
Huh?
You made him a star.
Well, I tell you what, and I want to publicly apologize to Link Hampton right now, because I kind of picked on him a lot, but I did it in love and in fun. But when I did pick on him, those moments resulted in some of the funniest moments I ever had on the radio. I peed my pants with this guy.
And by the way, it has nothing to do with him being 64.
Do what?
I said it has nothing to do with you being 64.
No. Yeah, let's keep saying that.
Nick DiGilio.
Nick is, again, one of the, he's kind of like the, I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but he was the little engine that could.
Totally agree.
He just kept knocking it out of the park. He never said no. You know, there's a lot of shifts sometimes when you're just breaking into the business that you love to do when you first get on the air, but after a while you think, man, I don't want to do that anymore. He never said no. He was there and developed such a loyal, I don't even know if it's a cult following, a loyal base of fans. It's almost the Kathy and Judy like, you know?
Yeah, totally agree.
It is very much Kathy and Judy like. They're just very, very loyal to him. And whatever you asked him to do, he did with flying colors.
Judy Pollack.
Judy was absolutely honest. She knew where she stood.
Yeah, that's one word for it.
Yeah. And I say that in a good way, because you knew exactly where you stood. She also, people don't realize how, well, yeah, they do, because they've heard her on the air. She's a very funny person, but people don't realize how good of a journalist she is.
Yeah.
She is an excellent reporter.
Totally.
An anchor.
What about Vince and Lou?
Vince and Lou, I never knew Vince.
But as a Cub guy, I bet you listen to him all the time.
I listened to him all the time. I never knew Vince, but I did have the opportunity to go out for lunch with Lou one time. And for a kid who just broke into the Chicago radio ranks and to sit with Lou Boudreau, the good kid, I was blown away. I kept pinching myself. It was one of those moments. I actually went out. I was going out the front door by the receptionist there. And I looked over there, and he was sitting in a seat out there waiting for someone to talk to in the station. And I'm thinking, that's Lou Boudreau. I went over and I talked to him, and I said, what are you doing? He says, oh, I'm just waiting to get in to see somebody. I said, come here. You're part of this station. You don't have to wait. Let's go. Walk in here with me, you know?
Right.
Another guy.
Very, very cool. And what can you say? I mean, I mean, the guy is just, he's a legend on and off the field.
No question. They just honored him down in Champaign last week at the U of I, too, where he was a multi-sport star. What about a guy I know you know and watched, you would hear him in the booth clicking away at that typewriter behind Jack Brickhouse? That was Jack Rosenberg.
All the consummate professional, one of the nicest human beings you will ever meet in your life. I remember, you know, every now and then when I would do something or get a good rating book or maybe something was in the newspaper about something we had done, he would always either send me a note or call me to say how proud he was, congratulations. And I mean, you know, what do you say about what he did in the booth and for baseball and for Chicago sports? And for our station, you know, the guy, I mean, again, legend.
And 40 years here, Spike.
Yeah. Just 40.
Yeah. Just.
I'm going to have to be fired three more times to get to that number.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And Leonard Baldy, we had a member of Leonard's family on the other day, the legendary traffic reporter. I think that's the list, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. I obviously did not know him. I've heard the stories and everything, and I know his family's going to be very proud of the ceremony tomorrow and being included in the Walk of Fame. It just breaks my heart. I can't be there because, you know, all these guys or most of these guys. I mean, we were you know, like blood together, you know? We grew up on the radio together, and each one of us made each one of us better.
It's one of the coolest things about being here and you know, being in this chair that you and Spike and Bob made famous. It's an honor. It's an honor to come to work every morning. It's an honor to be a part of it. So
yeah, yeah. And if, when you stop pinching yourself and thinking, what am I doing here?
Exactly.
Yeah, then you need to wake up and take stock in what you're doing there, because it's a big dang deal. It really is.
Dave's pointing at the Walk of Fame.
They're washing. Right now. They're washing the plaques.
Oh,
right now,
Spike. Can you feel it? You're getting a wash right now.
You're getting a shower.
Isn't it raining?
What? Everybody that goes by, somebody I know, will send a picture. They'll point at my plaque down there on the sidewalk, and it was getting to look a little crusty here this winter with that salt on there. And I thought, Dave, you said you were going to go out there and make sure that thing was always clean for me.
Well, Mr. DeCastro had promised that
he had the gold-plated
broom.
Yeah.
And he said he would do it every day. I don't know. He hasn't been around lately.
Yeah,
he's a slacker. It is such an honor. It is so cool. And to have my name included with all these people is just, like I say, what's this little kid from East Moline doing on that sidewalk, you know? I was just a very average student with average grades, average voice, average looks, and
thank God you found a job.
Yeah, no.
That's the perfect resume for a radio host. Actually,
yeah, it's exactly right.
People listening, if your kid out there is very average,
if your kid's average across the board, imagine the money he'll make someday
in the Walk of Fame.
When I graduated from high school, my high school class was 700. I think it was 744, if I remember correctly. I remember looking at the list, academic list of where you ranked with the class. I was exactly in the middle.
Oh, that's great. That's perfect. That's perfect. Living a dream, buddy. All right, well, good luck tomorrow. Give Karen a hug for us and say hi to the family.
I love you all. I love
you back.
All the inductees, and I'm so happy for you. I'm very proud.
Love you, Spike.
All the best. See you, buddy.
Love you too, David.
Wow, Dave has come a long way.
Wow.
I'll tell you, the therapy. We will come back with Bill and Wendy in a second. First, to celebrate Memorial. Oh, and John, you've got to announce the finalists.
I do.
To celebrate Memorial Day, Mattress Firm is giving away 50 free mattresses up to $3,000 in retail value. Hurry into your nearest Mattress Firm store now through May 29th for a chance to win your perfect mattress. MattressFirm.com/giveaway for complete details and official rules. Even if you're not a grand prize winner, you can still get great offers. Plus, for a limited time, don't miss their best financing offer. That's 0% APR for 6 years. Come in today and take advantage of interest-free financing, he said. And you can start sleeping happy for as little as $15 a month. Why wait any longer? Come in today and start sleeping happy on your perfect mattress. Plus, take advantage of interest-free financing for 6 big years, 72 months of sleeping interest-free. 866-780-6220 for credit costs and terms. Subject to credit approval at Mattress Firm for the Memorial Day sale giveaway. Mattress Firm, save money, sleep happy.